If you would, go ahead and read your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. And this morning I'm going to be talking about pornography, the pink elephant in the room. This comes from the message last Sunday when I was talking about divorce, Jesus' view of marriage and divorce. And as I said, some of the divorce catalysts that we see are things like cohabitation. We also see it with this area of pornography. And as I said it, I mentioned, I'm thinking about preaching on pornography. And after the service and throughout the week, a number of people say, Scott, you really, really need to talk about this subject. This is huge. And so this subject, this talk comes from that encouragement. No one wants to talk about this thing publicly, and yet it is a pervasive problem. Pornography is not neutral, okay? It is negative in every aspect. If you saw this, this was amazing. Right here, front page of the facts on Wednesday. It reads, youth pastor accused of sexual assault. That was Wednesday. Youth pastor in West Columbia. The next day, Thursday, two Brazoria County men have been indicted in federal sex trafficking charges. That's right here. Last November, four were charged with sex trafficking charges. Here's what we know about this. Here's what I know about this. If these guys are guilty, pornography was behind it. It is 100% guarantee. The strongest correlation between sexual aggression and these sexual acts like this, it's always linked to pornography. It always starts there. That's where it came from. It is a fact that pornography is behind all sexual aggression in all of its form. Listen, I'm in the Air Force, chaplain, 2012, 2013. I don't know if you remember that, what happened here. The Air Force recruiter out of the Lake Jackson office found guilty of sexual assault against 20 people. 34 years old, four kids, lives right here in this community. He's now going to spend over 30 years in prison, separated from his family. Where did all that begin? I know where it began. It began with pornography. See, we all talk about that sexual assault and that sexual case and all that kind of stuff, but nobody, you don't hear anybody saying, yeah, it was because it all started right here with pornography. What's the big picture of this thing? It all starts in Genesis 3:15. This is the big picture. You need to understand that the issue that you face, if you have a pornography issue, is a whole lot bigger than what you're experiencing. In Genesis 3:15, God says this to the woman, there's now going to be hostility between you, and he's speaking of the devil there, between you and the woman, between your offspring, that's the demonic realm, and her offspring. That's us. That's humanity. From this point forward, there is a pitched war against humanity and the demonic. And you were in the middle of that war. When you woke up this morning, you woke up in the middle of the battlefield. Now, praise God, Jesus has already won the war. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He's won the war. We know there's ultimate victory. But there are battles that have to be fought by us individually and collectively every day. And one of these is a battle for the mind. It's the battle for purity. It's the battle against pornography. And don't you just think, well, that's just, you know, some guys coming up with some crazy ideas and just putting stuff out. No, those ideas are inspired by the demonic, by Satan himself. I want you to look at in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 30. Luke 17, 26 through 30. And listen to what Jesus says. He's talking about the end times before he returns. And I want you to note what he says about the end times. Luke 17, verse 26, Jesus referring to himself, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. Would you say in the days of Noah? It will be like it was in the days of Noah. And then if you'll look on down to verse 28, and the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. Would you say days of Lot? So before Jesus returns, he says it's going to be like two times in history previous, like it was in the days of Noah and like it was in the days of Lot. Well, what was it like in the days of Noah? Read Genesis chapter 6. If you read Genesis chapter 6, God says, look, mankind is corrupt. It is sexually perverse. And the world is filled with violence. Those two characteristics, sexual perversion and violence, characterize Noah's day. One of the main reasons, two of the main reasons God says, I can't do this anymore. We're going to have to start over. Because there is so much perversion, sexual perversion and callousness. What was it like in Lot's day? Read Genesis 19. It's real simple. In Genesis 19, God sends two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah, meets up with this man named Lot. And so Lot says to the angels, stay in my house. Please stay with me. And so they stay with Lot, these angels. And it says the men of Sodom come to Lot's house, beat on his door and say, bring those men out to us so we can have sex with them. Sexual perversion, sexual callousness. Jesus said, before I return, guess what? It's just going to be like that. Violence and sex. You think about that. Satan's battle plan. Sex and violence. Listen, folks. We are entertained today by the very things that destroyed the world and the region of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you get that? We, and I'm not, maybe not you, but I'm just saying culturally, we are entertained by the very things that caused God to destroy the world and the region of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a very clear battle plan of Satan to hook people with sex and violence. Satan knows, I can't destroy your soul, spirit. Your spirit, if you're a believer, it's locked in. Buddy, you are going to heaven when you die. Amen? Amen. It's locked in. It's sealed until the time Jesus returns. He can't touch it, but he can touch the body. He can touch the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And so he targets those areas. He targets those areas to capture a person, and not only to capture a person and to bondage that person, but also to destroy that person and to destroy his family. And then not only his family, but his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You listen to me. You look at me. This issue, it's not just your issue if you're dealing with it. It is your children's issue. It is your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren's issue. Because God said the sins of the fathers get passed down. How many generations? 3, 4 generations. What I'm dealing with, the blessings, amen, they get passed down 1,000 generations. That's really good news. But the junk I'm dealing with, the reason I need to deal with it is so that my great-great-grandkids never have to deal with it. Amen? Satan understands this. If I can destroy them in this level, I can not only destroy their lives, their families, but all that would follow after them. He cannot capture your spirit, so he wants to wreck your body and soul. Read that. To neuter you, to make you unproductive, to not be fruitful and multiply. The grip of pornography is huge. As most of you know, it is the number one thing searched on the internet. 70% of men, 30% of women would say it's an issue in their life. If you to drill down just a little bit, what you'll find out is that with young adults, especially with young adult men, about 50% would say that is an active thing that they seek out every week. And for young adult women, 20% would say it's something that they seek out every week. If you look at that second one there, Symantec, the software, security software, in 2009 revealed that the porn ranked as the fourth most popular search for children 7 years of age and younger. And then look at the last one. One internet site, 4.3 billion hours in 1 year were watched. Folks, that's 500,000 years on one porn site. Ninety percent of boys between the ages of 8 and 16 who have internet access have viewed pornography while doing homework, and many times quite accidentally. They just put in the wrong address or whatever, and suddenly porn pops up on the screen. Do you understand that the pornography industry intentionally buys websites that people accidentally type in? They know, okay, I guess through their research, they know people's accidents when they're typing in a web address. They say, oh, we see that one gets all the time. We will buy that web address. They buy it, and it links them straight then. It links you straight to their pornography website. It's called porn napping. With cell phones, what do we have? Like I said last week, we got porn in the pocket. It's easy, it's accessible, it's private. Most of us don't have any kind of filter on it. Many times we give them to our little 7, 8-year-old children, whatever, and just say, you can use it. Not realizing we're putting porn in their pocket. We need to understand a few things about pornography. Maybe some of you know these things. But that pornography changes the brain. You see, porn activates the reward center of the brain. The part of us that likes, you know, pursuing things. When we find it, we feel good about it. Sometimes you have endorphins, then sometimes you have dopamine. Dopamine is the stronger of the two because dopamine is what motivates us to go after things. They can be good things, right? Like barbecue. We say, ooh, I'm going there. You drive past your favorite barbecue place to eat, and it's like Brian's Barbecue. I'm like, oh man, I need to stop there. You know, because I've associated it with pleasure, and that dopamine supports that. Dopamine, when it comes to pornography, hyperactivates the wanting system. In other words, when you view pornography, it's like it gives you more dopamine. And thus you think, okay, I want some more. And you begin to seek more out of response to that new image. As a result, you get caught into this loop of seeing, pursuing, catching, wanting, and then seeing, pursuing, catching, wanting. It's this thing. It just hyperactivates what's on inside of you. Dopamine is what is needed. It controls the brain's reward and pleasure centers. It regulates movement. It helps us with our emotions. It enables us to see rewards. It enables us to take action. And it also enables us to go after things, to chase after things. And what dopamine is interesting about dopamine is this. It's not only does it have that kind of seek and search thing within it, but it doesn't differentiate between what's moral and what's moral. It just says, I like that. Let's go there. And so we get motivated. This dopamine fills our system as we pursue. And this is especially true with things that are novel to us, that are surprising to us. I mean, haven't you ever been on the internet and you found something kind of unusual and you thought, and it wasn't bad. Well, maybe it was funny. And you find yourself, oh, that's kind of neat. And you begin clicking and you go, oh, that's kind of neat. You can click in. Well, what's going on? It's that thing in you that gets interested and then dopamine begins to pour in and begins to support it. And then finally you find yourself, man, I've been on the computer for an hour. What am I doing here? I mean, we've all done that. And that pursuit is part of what dopamine does within us. And so it also does the same thing with pornography, but it is hyperactive with pornography. And here's the thing, teenagers are far more sensitive to dopamine than adults are. And you see this out on the football field. You see like Super Bowl game, you know, the Patriots and the Falcons are playing. Those guys are pumped, right? They're excited, and they get together, and they're yah. But I guarantee you, if those guys had not been, like, in their late 20s and 30s, if they'd been in their, like, 16, 18, 19, 20, it would have been like piranhas. I mean, they would have just been jumping all over each other. You know? You see it. You see it with guys. I mean, there's just this hyper thing that happens with them when they get excited. And because we are young guys are incredibly sensitive to dopamine. And so that's why, young men, when you view dopamine, it affects everybody, but it especially ramps things up for you. It has a supranormal stimulating effect on the brain. And here's what it does. It overrides your natural braking system. That part in your brain that says, you got enough, that's enough, back off, boy. You know, like when you need to go to sleep at night. Your brain says, okay, slow down, go to bed. You've eaten enough? It says, stop eating, right? Stop eating. But with internet activity, internet addiction, as well as with pornography, it overrides it. It super stimulates it. You don't want to stop it. That's why a guy, he'll stay up till 1, 2, 3, and 4 o'clock in the morning watching stuff he shouldn't be watching. It's because this super stimulation is going on in his brain. He can't stop. You see it with guys with video games as well. I mean, it's the same kind of thing that goes on. You see it with yourself. It's the same thing that happens to everybody here, and I'll get to that in a minute. But what happens is this overstimulation causes the reward center to feel dull after a period of time. In other words, it's been excited so much. It's been excited. It just gets to the point. It's like, well, that doesn't excite me anymore. So what do we do? We go searching for something else a little bit more extreme, a little bit more novel, create a little bit more curiosity, and we go, oh, okay. And it fills that void again. Here's the other thing that happens. The things that used to motivate you don't motivate you anymore. Because you've been flooded with so much dopamine, have been so overstimulated, the things that normally would stimulate you, like talking to people, doing your work, getting up, taking a shower, I mean, whatever. I mean, just the normal stuff of life, you become flatlined almost in those areas. Because the other areas have been so overstimulated. And that's why a guy, even with teenagers, I'm not even interested in school. I'm not interested in relationships. This is the only thing I'm really interested in. This thing right here. Porn develops deep pathways in the brain. And so those pathways begin as a pathway. And eventually, because they have been reinforced with image after image after image, the pathway becomes a highway. And what happens is you become hypersensitive to lots of different cues that become as triggers to you. I was talking to one person who told me this. He said, listen, I was just watching a work video. That's all it was, just a work video. And the lighting of that work video all of a sudden reminded me the lighting of an image that I saw, of a video I saw, a porn video. And I instantly began thinking about that video. Well, what happened? He had such a deep highway in his mind because of this overstimulation of it, just viewing image after image after image, that he just had so many cues. He said, look, it could be anything. It could be, he said, I don't know, it could be somebody's nose. It could be the color of their hair. It could be your parent or your spouse walking out the back door, shutting the door, getting in the car and driving off. And all of a sudden you go, ding. It's just whatever the trigger is. Your brain gets very overstimulated, hypersensitive. And let me show you how this happens for everybody in this room, or nearly everybody in this room. Here's how it goes. Your car's out of gas, and you pull into Buc-ee's. And when you pull into Buc-ee's, what do you do next? What do you do next? Okay, you get gas, and then what do you do? What? You go inside, right? Now, some of you are saying, no, I won't go inside. Okay, I'll get to you in a minute, okay? But even those that don't go inside, you want to go inside. Most people, they go inside. What do you get? What do you get? Whatever. You know? Coke, coffee, treat, whatever. It's the same thing. You've got this huge map in your mind that's been built up that when I go to Buc-ee's, then when I'm pumping the gas, I'm just going to go inside and get me something to eat. It happens to all of us, right? And there's some of you, honestly, you pulled into Buc-ee's, and you're like, you're sitting there, why did I pull into Buc-ee's? What am I doing here? It's because that pathway's been built over time, over time, over time. Some of you say, well, I don't. And it's tough. You know, I try to. I just say, okay, I'm just going to get gas. But I want to go inside. But here's the one we all fall prey to. When you go to the movie, what do you do next? You have to go to the concession stand. You have to go to the concession stand. Now, here's what some of you are saying. I don't go to the concession stand. Not me. I want to tell you, look at me. If popcorn were $2 a bucket, you would be going to the concession stand. The only thing that's keeping you from going to the concession stand is what you'd pay for that popcorn. That is the only reason you don't go. Because when you're at your home and you put on a movie, what do you do next? You got to get popcorn. You got to get popcorn. You got to get something to drink. Got to get popcorn. It's just not right. In fact, you go to the movies these days, and like I go to the movies, Lee and I've gone to the movies, stuff like that. And I go to the movies. I'm like, I don't know that I can enjoy this movie without popcorn. Honestly, it's this highway that's been built in my mind because of this stimulation. And so the same thing happens to the pornographer, person, the user. When with pornography consumption, something triggers it. It could be boredom. I'm bored. I'm just going to look. I'm stressed. My day's been stressful. Physical needs not met. I haven't had sex in 2 weeks with my wife. I know what I'll do. I've been traumatized. I was traumatized as a kid. I've got a lot of pain. I've got a lot of hurt. I hate thinking about that. I know what I'll do. Click. It's unresolved conflict. It's trauma. It's family of origin. It's stress. Whatever. It's just whatever. It's just whatever. And you click it, and that change, things begin to change in your mind. And the other thing that happens is not only is your mind changed, but your thinking changes. Your actions change. Here's what we know. And again, all of this is outside. It's actually on our website. These notes are with all the documentation, okay? So if you want all the research, the whole thing, it's there. We also have booklets out on one of the information tables you can pick up. But because of this change in your brain, your sexual tastes become more and more extreme and deviant. In fact, you begin to think that deviant and extreme sexual behavior is just normal. This is the way it is. That you should be sexually promiscuous. In fact, it's shown time and time again that porn users get to the point where they have a hostile and neglectful or even hostile relationship about the idea of marriage. Why should I be exclusively one person's? Why should I have a family? In fact, it's been shown time and again that with pornographers, with users, that they would rather not have children. It begins to change your thinking because the images and the video, whatever, are so extreme. Here's what we know is that people that view pornography are 3 to 4 times more likely to commit adultery. Here's what we know is that persons that use pornography are 37 times more likely to pay for sex. There is a direct relationship between pornography and prostitution. There is a direct relationship between pornography, prostitution, and sex trafficking. If those guys we saw earlier, if they're found guilty, I guarantee you all of it goes straight back to pornography. These things are linked. Users begin to think, again, as I said, that promiscuity is a normal state of interaction. You also find out that you have less satisfaction in your actual physical sexual relations. And in normal human relations. You would think that would be the opposite. But as studies after studies shown in Italy, they asked, listen to this, they asked 16 to 25-year-old men or 19 to 25-year-old men, what is your view of women? What is your sexual desire towards women? I mean, not images, but actual women. Pornography users, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being, yeah. Pornography users, 4. They would rather have an image than a woman. With non-pornography users, it was 8, which would be normal. But it begins to change your thinking, changing your actions. One of the most crazy statistics comes from, and I'm just, you know what, I'm just going to say it, okay? I'm just going to say it. We'll get a little graphic here, I think. Here's one of the most alarming things we found out with young men, and I've talked to young men who had this issue. With young men ages 16 to 25 that are pornography users, 25 to 30% of them are admitting to erectile dysfunction. 19 to 25-year-old men. I want to tell you, for most 19 to 25-year-olds, that's not a problem. But for young men who use a lot of pornography, 25 to 30% of them say, it is a problem for me because of this overstimulation. What is happening as well is because of what they are viewing, they are becoming desensitized to normal human relations, to normal outrages, things that would make you outraged, that injustice, this is wrong. People that use a lot of pornography, it doesn't bother them as much. Or even to the excitements of a normal life, those things don't build the same level of excitement. And eventually, they get to the point of being dissatisfied with the emotional tugs of life. This overstimulation of dopamine, what it also affects is this, low risk-taking. Sometimes we wonder, why is that guy not motivated? I'm not saying it's because of porn use. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this, is that a lot of guys, the reason they aren't motivated is because of porn use. Because of that overstimulation of the dopamine. Lower risk-taking, increased anxiety, increased overreactions, lack of motivation, social problems, isolation, all of these things. As a result, as a person floods his mind, is that they become desensitized to the things that they used to be very responsive to. The things of everyday activity, things of just doing life, they're no longer excited about those kinds of things. I was talking to one person who was telling me, he says, man, my life, it was like I was in a fog. I couldn't get motivated. I lacked focus. I lacked creativity. There was no desire. It was like the only thing I wanted was the fix. That was it. I wasn't concerned about anything else. Frequent exposure to porn is associated with diminished trust in intimate partners, and you begin to view actual love relationships in a cynical way. And here's one of the devastating things that happens with pornography use. Look at me. Here's what happens. You cannot have communications with women without projecting sexually upon that woman. Women, you don't understand this. I want to tell you something. I understand this. Most guys, if they be honest with you, they understand it too. And you add porn into the mix of that, and it's like you can't hardly even look at a woman and carry on a conversation because your mind is always going there. The cycle, as most of you know, it's like any addiction cycle. It's the seeking. Oh, I found it. I found it. You get hooked, and then it escalates because what you got hooked on doesn't do it for you. The thing with heroin addicts, all heroin addicts, they just need more heroin, okay? I just need more. But with pornography, you need different. You need unusual. You need extreme. Not just more of the same, but different. So you get hooked, it escalates, you get desensitized, and finally you begin acting it out. However that may look, it may look like these papers, these guys in the paper down here. It may look like in different ways for different people. But there's this increasing tendency to act out. And all the while, you're becoming more and more isolated. You're able to talk to people, you're able to engage in people, but you find yourself kind of pushing yourself a little bit further and further away, just being more and more by yourself. Had one person say, look, I was able to kind of come and do church, but kind of outside of that, it was just more, sort of me. Becoming more and more isolated, harder and harder to interact with. As I said, the one person told me, I felt like I was in a fog. Low self-esteem is an issue. I don't feel good enough. You feel awkward. God told me, he said, man, I felt real awkward talking to women. Not just because I projected. It's just I couldn't even keep my mind clear enough. And it made me pull away further. Finally, pornography destroys everything important to you. Look, use have a much more negative impact towards women than non-users do. Users will say things about women that non-users won't say about women. Users have a belief that women want to be raped because that's what pornography presents to them. They enjoy it. They say no, but they mean yes. It projects all of these sort of aggressive images. It says it's okay to be this way. And in being this way, you destroy relationships. One person told me, they said this, it literally destroyed my love for my spouse. I didn't even care anymore. It hardened my heart. I became callous. I didn't care about my impact. I didn't care about the impact upon her or my family. I was willing to walk away from the whole thing. Some of the things that have happened because of poor news, people lose their job, people lose their money, people lose immense amount of time and energy. And even some go on to commit suicide. Some researchers have found that partners committed, that partners who are in relationship with a pornography user say, you know what, when I found out, it just destroyed. It led to deep, deep levels of mistrust. Some even have said, they've gone through the surveys and said that it's shown that they have post-traumatic stress disorder. Because of what the spouse has gone through, she feels like she's experienced, not just felt, but she's gone through post-traumatic stress disorder. She is that devastated, because typically what happens when the wife finds out, this hasn't been going on, this one like, oh, this is my first time, you know. No, this has been going on for years. And when the wife finds out, it destroys everything. Among some of the things that this found out, not only is the negative attitude towards women, but the empathy for victims of sexual violence diminishes towards those for those who use pornography. There's an increase in dominating and sexually imposing behavior. They're more likely to believe, as I said earlier, in the rape myth and the acceptance of violence against women. They are reported more likely, a person who commits rape, a person who views pornography is more likely to commit rape than others who do not. This is all of this, listen to me, that's for men. This is especially true with teenagers. Most of what I just told you here is for like 20 to 40 year olds. Just ramp all of what I just said up a notch for 16 to 19 year olds. I mean, we see guys, here's the thing. You hear the locker room talk. And then you hear the coach or the motivational speaker come in and say, you know, you need to treat women with respect. You need to love women. You need to care for them. You don't need to talk to them that way. Where are they getting that from? Sure, there's a little bit of peer pressure that's going on there. But they're getting that for pornography, because that is what's being sold to them. This is how you talk to women. You talk to them in degrading ways. You refer to them in obscene ways. That's what you do. I'm sorry, no motivational speaker is going to be able to change that. What has to change is the use of pornography. Boys, young men are less likely to value intimacy or empathy with their partners, and they're more likely to be sexually aggressive. I'm going to do whatever I can do and get away with it. Now, here's the scary thing. Oh, that's scary. Let me tell you the real scary thing. Is that we are seeing more sexual predators today in elementary school than we've ever seen. And I'm not talking about the teachers. I'm talking about the second grader molesting the other second grader. Where does that come from? That's just not some kid coming with some bizarre idea. That's coming from a kid who has seen something. Pornography fuels prostitution, and prostitution fuels the sex trafficking, and curbing pornography would curb sex trafficking. And all that affects you and your relationships with others, how you do life, and we've not even talked about how it affects your relationship with God. Because I want to tell you something, you got a good, good Father who loves you, who cares for you, and He weeps because He sees the son or daughter in the far country just ruining their life. Understand this, your Heavenly Father he's not mad, he's not angry, he's not like, you idiot, what are you doing? He's none of that. He's that father of the prodigal standing on the front porch saying, man, I can't wait till he comes home. I just can't wait till he comes home. And when he sees that turning, he's running after you. But as it is right now, some of you have got so much shame in your heart. There's so much deceit going on in your life. You are covered up with this stuff. You just think, I can't. In fact, some of you even question your relationship, your salvation. You're saying, I can't even be saved. How can a saved person do and believe the things I'm doing and believing? there is an enemy. And you are caught in his chains right now. But you can be delivered. You really can be delivered. But it affects your relationship with God because you are living in a constant state of grieving the Holy Spirit. And as we've said many times, the Holy Spirit is like a dove, and you don't have to do much to scare a dove off. And when you live in this state of perversion, you're grieving that Spirit. And so the Bible is irrelevant to you. God seems distant, and the church is just hollow. And you're like, I don't even need, some of you are like, I'm not sure if you need this stuff. And it's because you're so far from God right now. There's so much shame. I want you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my counsel. Then you will show discernment, and your lips will express what you've learned. For the lips are pornography. He says an immoral woman or a prostitute. It's the same thing. For the lips of pornography, they're sweet as honey. They're smoother than oil. But in the end, she, pornography, is a bitter poison, a dangerous double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave, for she cares nothing, nothing about the path of life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't even realize it. So my son, listen to me. Never stray. Don't stray from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her. Don't give in. Oh, just a little bit. Don't give in. We just use it a little bit in our marriage. Give it up. It'll be okay. It'll just spice things up. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor. You will lose to merciless people all you've achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you know what's going to happen to you? You will groan in anguish. Disease will consume your body. You will say to yourself, oh, how I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored the warnings. Oh, why didn't I pay attention to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin. Now I must face public disgrace. I want to tell you something. There are men today in this room that would stand up and say to any of you young men, do not go down this path. This path leads to destruction. Some of you young guys say, well, it's, you know, it's fun, it's kind of exciting. I'm telling you, there's some 40, 50, 60-year-old men that say, it locked me up for decades. No, here's what you need to do. Drink from water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the waters of your springs in the streets having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never ever share that with a stranger, with an image, with a video. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Why are you captivated, my son? By an immoral woman, by pornography. Why fondle the breast of a promiscuous woman? For the Lord sees clearly what a man does. He examines every path he takes. An evil man, he is held captive by his own sins. Their ropes, their chains that catch, that hold him. He will die. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. 3,000 years ago. You think that's relevant for today? So how do you move forward? Let me just give you some good news, is that your brain can recover. You're not locked into this. The images, maybe for a long time. But the power of those images can diminish. Listen, I was 11 years old when I first saw my pornographic image. Still remember it. But it can lose power. It can lose its grip. Your brain can be restored. Other things that since this week, I've added a few more, and I'll try to update those on our website with our notes. But let me tell you, the next one, it's the most important. If you want to get out of the darkness, you got to admit, I'm in the darkness. You got to own this thing. You've got to admit to this thing. You can't keep it a secret any longer. Listen to what David says in Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5, about sin that he dealt with. Psalm 32. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. You know what? When I refused to confess my sin, this is what happened. My body wasted away. I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline, God, was heavy on me. My strength, it evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confess my sins to you and stop trying to hide my guilt. And I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And guess what? Guess what? You forgave me. All my guilt is gone. You have to come out of the darkness and admit it, not just to God, but to somebody else. If you're married, you take it to your spouse. You own up to it, to him or to her. Say, yes, this has been an issue in my life. How much do you own up to? I would encourage at this point then to go to a counselor and let them talk you through this. They need, your spouse needs to know, because you've been living a lie. This thing has not been in the open. It needs to get in the open. If you're a child or teenager, young adult, or whatever, tell your parent. Talk with your parents. Say, this has been an issue in my life. What does James chapter 5 say? Verse 16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, and then you will be healed. Everybody say healed. So that healing is dependent upon you confessing and receiving prayer. You're not going to get better by holding it in. Jesus can deliver you. Amen? Listen, porn is a punk to him. He defeated porn on the cross. And Satan is underneath your feet. He's got you in darkness because he wants you to think, I've got you. But as soon as you walk out into light, guess what happens? Darkness doesn't have the grip, right? Doesn't have the grip. Just walk out of the darkness. Admit you need help. Some people want God then to do the immediate. Listen, those pathways in the mind, God can do the 180. I mean, he's done it. But most of the time, those pathways, it takes a while for things to be renewed. That's why Psalm 119, what do y'all know about Psalm 119? What do you know about Psalm 119? It's the longest chapter. It's the chapter in the Bible you don't read, okay? It's the longest chapter in the Bible, right? I mean, it's like, oh, really? Why did you do this? You know, it's the longest chapter. But you read the first part of Psalm 19, and it'll give you a lot of truth. It's essentially, reflect upon the Lord, meditate upon his word, and it will transform your life. And so you build new pathways by meditating upon the Lord. You build new pathways by having Holy Spirit encounters when he gives you insight, revelation, and experiences, when he leads you into truth, when God reveals his goodness to us, as we were singing this song, and you see his goodness. And the other thing is this, he also reveals the negative stuff, like, you know what, you keep this up, and this is what's going to happen to you. And sometimes we need that to motivate us. I had one person say, I said, how do you stay out of this stuff? He said, I thought about everything I was going to lose. And every time I'm tempted, I think, you know what? If I keep down this path, I'm going to lose it all. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my respect. That's not a bad thing. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Just show me all this stuff. That's the renewal of the mind. You must have people in your life who give hard accountability. There has to be hard accountability and guidelines. Look, Job said, Job 31, 30, really, read the book of Job, and it's like, man, this is a hard book to read. Read Job 31 once. This is relevant today is when he said it. He said, look, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a young woman and lust after her. So instead of looking at the lady, I'm looking at the floor. Instead of looking at the lady, I'm looking at the baseboards. If that's an issue. Understand what your triggers are. What are the triggers? I already talked about that. Is it pain? Is it just a biological thing? Is needs not being met? Is it whatever? There's an online assessment that you can take, and I'll give you that where you can go. But here's what you have to do. That last one is incredibly important. Y'all say it with me right here. Here we go. Reach out for help. You have to get help. Look, you reached out to pornography and it ensnared you. To get out, you've got to reach out to somebody else. It ensnared you. It brought you in. Proverbs 5. You've got to reach out to help from somebody else. People in your lives that can encourage you and build you up and show you the way out. Jesus did not do his ministry alone. He had to have guys with him. You cannot do life alone. It is not good that man be what? Alone. God said that. And it is not good that you deal with this alone. Some of you are saying, well, who can I reach out to? Well, again, I need to update these notes, and we're going to maybe have an insert next Sunday. But let me go to this thing right here and write out a couple of people that you can talk to for help. For the older guys, if you want to talk to someone, talk to Keith Jones, all right? And Keith's number is 665-6896. And for younger guys, Paul Crutcher. Paul, he's back here, right? Paul, raise your hand. He's back here. Both Paul and Keith are in their journey out of pornography, and Paul said, look, I'll talk to anybody about this, encourage them. So Paul's number is 824-9830. Is that right, Paul? Okay, 9830. Gene also said, Gene down here, Gene the drummer, said he'd love to visit with anybody because this is something that he's been working on as well. So get those phone numbers. If you need them, I can get them up later, or I can give them to you. As far as resources, here's some good resources that you can look into. I have, as I said, the booklet is out there, Moral Revolution, comes from Bethel Church. Great information there. Fight the New Drug. Fantastic website. Here's what you need to know. They have a program to help you. If you're under the age of 20 and under, it's free for you. It's called Fortify. Just go on there, look where it says, I think, like help. It'll take you to that program. For everybody else, it's like $32, 39 months, $39 for life. Okay, that's it. Just $39 one-time fee. There's an online assessment, as I said, that you could do, and it is with this fella here by the name of Doug Weiss. He also has a good book. And Doug's book, the online assessment is there. I think it's $10, but his book is called The Final Freedom. There are a lot of great books on pornography to help guys get out of pornography. So don't just limit it to those that I've listed here. Covenant Eyes is a good web filtering kind of system because it will report to others what you've been viewing on your computer. In other words, if Cody and I are partners, it would send Cody a report every week and say, Scott's looked at these websites. He would know. And so he could say, Scott, hey, I saw something here. What's all that about? Let me just end with this. We're at war. We're at war. Are you just going to sit down and play dead? You're just going to sit down and play dead. Are you going to get up and fight and say, enough? I'm tired of this in my life. I'm tired of bringing this on my family. I'm going to get up and I'm going to fight. You have an enemy that's trying to take you out, who's trying to destroy your family and to destroy the generations that follow you. And men, I'm telling you, it is time to stand up and fight. Quit giving in to this nonsense. You have a God who is for you, a Jesus who's defeated the enemy for you. You have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you've got brothers and sisters in arms that will embrace you and love you where you are and walk you through this mess, okay? There's nobody here that's going to look at you and say, oh, gosh, I can't believe that. If you find that person, you tell me about him. I'm going to go talk to him, okay? You are loved here, and we want to walk with you. Amen. Let's stand together. Would you bow in prayer? And I want you to pray this, just pray it in your heart, for the Holy Spirit to come and just sweep out the junk in your life. Sweep out the stuff. Give him permission today to clean you up. And the most important step for some of you today is for you to admit it. Come clean on it. And you're scared. You're in the darkness and you are scared. I mean, listen, when it's really, really, really dark and you're in a room by yourself, it's spooky. It gets like, man, what's going on around me? And all you got to do is just open the door and walk out into the light. I want you to pray this in your heart as I pray it out loud. Jesus, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind of self-discipline. And so today, Holy Spirit, I ask that you fill me with power to step out of the darkness, power to overcome this evil, power to reach out for help, and fill me with a greater understanding of the Father's love for me. I'm telling you, the Father has great joy over you. He is hurt, not because you're disappointing him. He's hurt because he sees a wounded child limping around who's not getting the help that he or she needs. Ask for that revelation of the Father's love. Then finally, ask for that spirit of self-discipline. He's given you self-discipline. Ask for a greater impartation of that. Lord, we ask that that old song, Rushing Wind, blow through this temple, cleansing out the filth within. Come and send your Spirit upon us. Let us walk in that newness of being born again. Let there be a rush right now of the fresh wind of your Spirit in people's lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, before we're dismissed, my wife and I, we're going to be in the back, and so if you're visiting for the first time, great for you. Got free food on us. Love to visit with you for a minute. For the rest, I'm going to ask our deacons. I know David's here. Hopefully a few other deacons are here and a prayer team. They'll be available to pray with you. If you need to talk to someone about this, if you need to talk to me about it, then if you would, call me this week, text me, email me, and say, Pastor, I'd like to talk further about this issue. Now, from Psalm 101, I want to make this a little bit different kind of benediction. All right? And I just want you to repeat this after me, okay? We're going to contextualize it to this message. I will be careful to live a blameless life. I will lead a life of integrity in my home. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I reject perverse ideas. And I will stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate this in my home. I will search for faithful people to be my companions, those who are above reproach. I will not allow pornography in my house. Instead, my daily task will be to ferret out the wicked and all wickedness and those who are held captive to it from its grip. Amen. Amen. That's Psalm 101. God bless you.